Give me a P.
P.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me a T.
T.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an N.
N.
What's that spell?
Patreon!
Woo-hoo! Oh my god, Patreon is where you can go to give a monthly donation to the Accessible Stall that'll pay for all kinds of cool we need for this podcast. Okay, find us at the Accessible Stall, patreon.com/theaccessible. Cool, love you, bye, here's the episode.
That was terrible.
Let's use it.
Hi, I'm Emily Liddow.
And I'm Kyle Ketchadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
What are we going to talk about today, Emily?
We're going to talk about The Uninitiated.
What's that, Emily?
It's a new movie. You should have heard of it a long time ago. Getting an Oscar.
Is it in what? Best podcast episode?
That's what this is. No, it's not a movie. That just came to me on the spot. How clever. Haha. But we are going to address what it is like to communicate with people who are not generally aware of how to talk about disability.
So, like, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. So, if you are a person, we're talking to you. So, I guess the reason that I wanted to talk about this is because I constantly find myself questioning how other people discuss disability, and I get a little frustrated when people who... What? Go ahead.
They don't.
I mean, that's a fair point. But sometimes people like to stick their noses in and be like, oh, yeah, I totally get it. And let me demonstrate to you how I get it by talking about it like I get it.
To my cousin's uncle's third ex-wife's dog with four faces and three legs.
That's a disability, all right. So, yeah, I mean, that's one level. But the reality is the disability is a sticky situation for anyone. And this would not be a podcast episode if I didn't bring up my dating life. But this just occurred to me, so I got to tell you. What?
Is this really why you wanted to do this today?
Not at all. This just came to me. I try to make things less awkward by being like, I'm super open and you can ask me anything you want about my disability. So I said that to some guy the other night. And then I realized when he didn't respond immediately, he had no idea what to say. Where do you even
what to say or start? If to say even or even if to say anything?
Yeah, I feel like it's really a double-edged sword. You know, you can either say something and risk offending the person or say something and risk seeming ignorant. So,
well, I feel like if you're literally inviting questions and there's very little that the other person could say to really offend you unless it was completely egregious, because you're asking for it knowing that they probably don't know anything. So yeah. You're more tolerant than somebody who, you know, quote unquote, should know better.
But I do not apply that tolerance to everyone, and I'm going to be the first person to admit it.
Right, you're the worst at it, but I mean, we all are. I mean, that's humans. But I mean, what my point was, though, when you're specifically like looking for questions, I feel like you're more open to weird and strange ways that very legitimate questions could be asked. Because you're actually asking for it.
Is it also possible that disabled people or minorities in general have alienated the public from wanting to engage in discourse about our situations?
Oh, yeah, we're the worst. I mean, yes, absolutely. We're going to get to that in a minute, too.
I hate to say it.
I don't.
But I think we're all guilty of that.
Nope, we are. Absolutely. If you don't think so, you're part of the problem. Yes, you too.
Yes, me too, like me.
No, I'm talking about whoever's disagreeing with us in their head right now.
Oh, man, so many people must be talking back by now. But the reason that this constantly pops up in my mind is because I'm just realizing that I haven't even fully figured out how to navigate talking about disability in a way that is
accessible
relatable.
To all.
Accessible! There's our buzzword. It's true, though. So at the same time as I'm still not sure how to navigate my own territory sometimes, I also put way too much of an expectation on other people to know how to navigate that territory, and they should just know not to ask stupid questions, but they do. But then I get mad.
Well, it's funny because what's a stupid question? I mean, you know what your stupid questions are, and you have an expectation as to what you think people should know what a stupid question is. But when you're asking somebody, or when you're expecting answers from somebody, either direction, who doesn't know about the thing you're talking about, then they don't know if what they're asking is stupid, even if to you it is. What are we, like, can you have sex? It's a really stupid question. It's a stupid question.
Can I be real?
It's a question. It is a question. It's a legitimate question. It's probably the crassest way to ask that question, but it is a question.
I really don't get that question. I feel like that is everybody's go-to for, like, rude questions, and yet I feel, like, almost weird because I really don't get that.
Don't get that. You don't not get that, why it's weird?
No. I don't get that question. Like, it's not something that's asked upon me or asked about me. Oh,
you
literally
don't get that question.
Oh, yeah. Not like I don't understand it. Like, it is literally not asked of me.
Oh, well, you're missing out, Emily. I feel like I should just ask you right now. I mean,
the answer is yes. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
No, but I mean, that's like a disability rite of passage, my
friend.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm not saying I've never gotten it. I've certainly gotten personal questions of that nature. But for some reason, that seems to be the thing that everybody points to as the most commonly asked ignorant question. But I've literally never had a random stranger come up to me and ask me if I can have sex. They're more concerned about healing me.
I wish I could think you were missing out, Emily, but really you're not. It's a stupid question. But I mean, is it stupid? It's personal, but is it stupid?
It just sort of indicates that you're not using common sense because you wouldn't ask that to somebody else, would you? Unless you would. I don't know.
No, but I agree with you, but I have to imagine that the reason that they ask that of us is because we're doing something or we look a certain way that suggests that maybe we might have trouble with it. And you know what? We do. So I don't really know. No, I'm serious. So, you know, even though it's a perfect example of a completely ignorant question, make no mistake, it obviously is very ignorant and you shouldn't ask that question of anyone if you don't ask it of everyone, which you also shouldn't do, in my opinion. But the fact remains, it's a question.
I've just never had anybody ask me out of context that I can remember. You know, it's usually in the context of a relevant conversation in which it would be necessary to continue the conversation for me to indicate whether or not I can be sexually active.
You are really missing out. You're not a real disabled person.
Has this happened to you?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Every able-bodied friend I make asks that question to me at some point. And I always answer it. And I always answer it because I don't care. Like, I don't, that question is ignorant, but I mean, if it's ignorant from a place of I don't know and I want to know, then I don't mind answering it.
That is so interesting.
It's none of their business, but I mean, I suppose why not? I mean, you know, I'm going to probably ask them an ignorant question without realizing it at some point.
I also don't know if I just bring it up in other random girl talk conversations to the point where people don't need to ask me that question. I just don't know what it is. But all of my...
Well, when a man and a woman love each other very much... Or a man and a man, or a woman and everything in between, because obviously that somebody's, like, I can hear the angry tweets on the keyboards already.
We're not gendering anyone. We're not pairing.
We're not gendering genders. Don't gender my gender.
What? Anyway. Okay. So. this is off the rails. Okay. So.
My God, you give one example of one ignorant question and it goes off on a 9-minute tirade on the accessible stall.
This has been an interesting episode of 9 minutes and 35 seconds. No, I have more things I want to say about the subject. So I always find myself getting worked up about ignorant comments, but I also wonder if they come from some kind of place of being genuine and actually caring about the other person and like having an interaction with the other person, forging a human connection.
Or, yes, I wonder that too. But then there's also the other side of it, of whether or not your interpretation of a question as to whether or not it's ignorance is stemming from a place of ignorance on hearing it on your part, because what's ignorant to you might not be ignorant to them, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and it's not even questions, it's just comments. It's people trying to make conversation with me in public. And I often find myself getting very worked up about that, but I'm not sure if my getting worked up about it is just because I hear it every day and I'm frustrated, or because it's genuinely an annoying thing to say to someone.
It could be both. You know, just because it could be genuine and annoying, right? I mean, they're not very mutually exclusive. But I think the bigger issue comes in when you're trying to discuss these things with people who, you know, shouldn't know better. If they should know better, then they're probably, like, you know, disabled themselves, or, you know somebody who is, or has a family member who is, and that's all well and good. But for the truly uninitiated, for the people who, you know, for all intents and purposes don't know we exist, right? How do you get to them? I think that's a real crux of everything that we do and everything any disabled person does.
Yeah. Took us 11 minutes and 43 seconds to get here, but that is a critical question. Because you ever feel like we're just sort of talking to our own bubble?
I'm almost certain that we are.
In our podcast, not in the rest of our lives.
No, I know. I'm almost certain that we are. And that's okay, and that's fine, and, you know, we love you. But, you know, we're not educating anyone if they already know what we're saying, if they already agree with what we're saying. You know, we're not achieving anything other than being entertaining, which is, you know, in and of itself a separate thing, and that's great. But, you know, when it comes time to teach people about anything that we've talked about on the show, you have to wonder whether or not we're talking into an echo chamber, or if somebody, you know, ever actually listened to one of these, or, you know, read an article that Emily wrote or anyone else wrote, or even did a Google search on a certain disability and walked away from that learning something. You know, I don't know. I don't think there is any way to know. But I think that reaching people who don't know much about disability are more important to reach in terms of getting things done and, you know, the overarching goal of acceptance than reaching somebody who is already disabled and gets it in some way or another.
So then how do we make the, quote, uninitiated the initiated without somehow alienating them in the process? Because I know I used that word earlier, but it keeps coming back to me, because sometimes I recognize that my advocacy can come on very strong, and I recognize that I have very strong reactions to certain questions or comments or things that people did or said, and my goal in talking about those is to try to get people to recognize where I'm coming from, but I also recognize that that may not be the way to do the, quote, initiation.
I'm always a fan of the, you know, saying that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Not to say vinegar isn't sometimes very needed, you know, but I don't know how we come across, we as a people. I think that I have an idea of how we come across, and I'm, you know, not very shy to say that. I've said it a bunch of times in the show that I think that how we come across is, you know, to an uninitiated person, that we come across as a bunch of infighting people that can't agree on anything. And obviously that's a bit hyperbolic, but, you know, if you come across two disabled people, they're going to give you two different answers to the same question, even if they're almost identical in terms of their physical ability. And why is that? Is it because there are no right answers, or is it because that there are so many right answers that finding one true answer is almost impossible? And then when that happens, which one do you go with? How do you know what's right? I mean, obviously the way to do that is to converse with as many people in the disability community as possible, and it's the same for any minority, I suppose. But I think that we tend to expect that people get things right in sort of an unfair amount of time or with an unfair amount of exposure. You know, seeing a disabled person, for example, isn't the same as like seeing a black person or like any other minority. Like, we're harder to spot. I mean, we're very common, you know, 1 in 5 is our favorite thing to say. But but there's no marker of, oh, you're disabled. You know what I mean? Disability is... No,
there's wheelchairs. Like, yeah, there's like visible symbols.
Okay, but then there's me. You know what I mean? You can look at you. It's, I mean, you can look at a guy who's black and be like, yeah, you're black. Like, it's not the same thing. It's just not. I mean, we're not the only minority that has that. I mean, LGBT, you can't look at somebody and go, oh, he's gay. I mean, I guess you can in some cases, but for the most part, you can't. But even so, like, that kind of thing is so individualistic. And the thing, too, is that unlike sexuality and race partly, disability has many, many external factors that affect you as the person in the disabled person's life as much as internal factors that affect only them, whereas sexuality is very personal and race can or can't be depending on the issue. But disability is extremely, like, heavy on the exterior factors as much as the interior ones. I really do believe, don't you? Because, I mean, you know, accessibility, like, if you can't get somewhere, that's someone else's problem, as much as it is your problem.
You know what I'm still harping on that you said?
What's that?
How is there no right answer, or are there so many right answers?
I don't think there's a difference at that point. If there are so many right answers that no one right answer is the right answer, then that's the same thing as saying there is no right answer.
Or rather, there is no answer. Not even a right answer. There is no answer. And I think that applies to basically everything you were saying.
Yeah.
That's what is so difficult about podcasting is, you know, here we are like trying to
give our opinions.
Right. But we're genuinely trying to like educate the uninitiated, and yet, you know, they're just listening to us. So do we really count in the grand scheme of things?
Yes. Step one, realize that this is all subjective. Step two, ask a lot of questions and don't worry about how you're coming across until you're done asking them. Step three, listen to the feedback you get about how you asked your questions. Step four, listen for the answers. Start there and you'll end up okay.
I know what we're putting in our show notes.
This the list.
The steps of how to reflect on disability. In that we are constantly trying to get across a particular message that we want people to recognize, and we want people to perceive us in a certain way. But the reality is that disability is subjective for us in how we interpret it and experience it, and it's also subjective for other people in how they interpret it and experience our presence.
I have an example for this, actually. And it's a phrase that we love to use all the time, and it's a good phrase. I'm not making fun of ourselves here. But it's like, oh, treat me like everyone else. Okay, that's fine. Except inevitably, there will be a certain situation where we can't. Can't be treated like everyone else. We're going to have a need or something. And it's like, okay, well, if I'm uninitiated, I'm going to treat you exactly as I treat everyone else. And then when I hit that inevitable roadblock, then what? I mean, of course, the answer is learn and figure it out. But you have to understand that that thing, that message of treat me as you would anyone else, it might, I don't know, because I am disabled, but it might come across as like, how do I do that? How can I actually do that?
I think conversely, there are some, or not even conversely, but just something else to consider when it comes to treat me as you would everyone else. Think about the fact that some people may just treat everyone a certain way, and you may not like how that is. So you may interpret it.
So when they treat you like everyone else, you're not going to like it anyway. And meanwhile, right. They're so doing like, exactly what you asked them. Yes.
Like, perfect example. I had an interaction recently on a train with a woman. You knew it was going to bring it up eventually.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I know that it's going to be good when you call it an interaction.
So I was minding my own business. I was on the train. I was riding home. It was late.
You're saying this, and I know immediately that there's something that's entirely your fault that you're doing.
What is my fault? How do you know?
Because any story that starts with, I was just sitting there minding my own business when all of a sudden.
Nuh-uh. It was all this woman on the train. So I was sitting there minding my own business, and the conductor comes over to me and says something about how he'll be back to bring the bridge plate over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, hey, thank you. And I told him, and this is true, that a conductor forgot me on the train recently. And so I kind of said that just to emphasize, like, please come back for me. And then a woman overheard it. And so we started chatting about needing the ramp. And all was well. I smiled. I went back to my phone. And she said, you know, I hope you can walk one day by fate. And I was like, not gonna happen, but I'm pretty okay with my life. Like, I'm pretty happy with it. Thanks. And she goes, oh, that's so sad. My uncle has multiple sclerosis, and he's in one of those things, and he thinks he's gonna get up and walk one day. And I just, like...
No, well, okay, but you, that's a great example. No, but that's actually a really good example, because on the one hand, that's totally ignorant, but on the other... She's just saying that to you based on the fact that her uncle really believes that.
And she's also, like, trying to extend an olive branch to me, this random stranger on the train. But I am just so sick of hearing comments like that that I immediately got annoyed. But I don't have it in me to ream people out like other people do.
Even so, then you look like the bad guy, even though you were all just trying to do the right thing. And I normally wouldn't say that about this woman, but since you specifically brought up that she really thinks her uncle believes that, that's probably where she gets that weird belief from. Not that it's right. I'm just saying it's all very cyclical. It all feeds into itself.
Well, it goes back to disability being subjective, because if you're, you know, contemplating disability in one way and someone else perceives it in another way, and you think what you say is actually like a kind wish to someone, like, she could have legitimately thought that like telling me to walk was actually a nice thing to do.
In her mind, it probably was, like, really, because, and it's also very disability dependent, right? Because you'll never walk, but somebody with MS might. It's
but
not
you know
uncommon.
What really sucked was just when I said that I'm happy with my life, it's almost like she didn't hear my response, because then she went on to say, oh, that's so sad. It's like she got hung up on the part where I'm not going to walk.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt that somebody would say that they're sad for you when you say that you're happy with yourself. That's a little weird. I think you're right. But even so, I mean, that's, you know, there's a certain amount of, like, can't help you kind of thing. I think that's where she passed it. But I think that's a great example of how all of this can feed into itself. And how everyone thinks in that exact situation, both parties, you thought you were doing the right thing and she thought she was doing the right thing. And no one got anywhere because of pre-held beliefs that you both didn't know you both had until you interacted with each other.
Well, to be fair, I'm very aware of my particular feelings on interactions this.
Of course you are, but so is she. That's what I'm saying. So.
Or is she, though? Is that a common occurrence for her like it is for me? Does she run into someone in a wheelchair every day and tell them she hopes they can walk?
Maybe she lives with her uncle, and maybe they see each other every day, and maybe
he
says that.
I feel like I get that. Every time I go somewhere, no. Practically.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's a dumb thing to say. You know, but I'm just saying, and I don't mean to sound like I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, because it sounds like she's just plain old ignorant. But the reason I did that before is because you laid out a scenario that she told you that really, really could cement her belief in saying that to you is actually the right thing,
well,
regardless of whether or not it is.
I don't mind necessarily giving the benefit of the doubt, not because I believe that she had a right to impose her beliefs on me in that way, but because I'm trying to be more aware of what it is that prompts people to say things. But there is no avoiding people coming up to me and imposing their weird beliefs on me.
I mean, that's everybody. I mean, I'm sure it's obviously, I think we get it more because we're, you know, we look helpless, right? But,
I mean, I've been prayed over. I've been told to go to a healing service at a church. Have I let Jesus into my heart? Like, did I try to heal myself with this supplement that's good for my body? Like, I get all the other questions. I just don't get the sex one. But I would not mind having a substantive conversation with these quote-unquote uninitiated people and being like, hey, listen to me. I'm going to tell you why what you said is kind of ignorant, but well, I'm not going to attack you for it.
That comes off as standoffish, though. But even without that, though, I mean, let's say it didn't. You know, they're not coming up to you because they want to learn. They're trying to make you feel better, and that's part of what pisses you off. And I understand that. Like, you're totally in the right for feeling that way. But
do you think – I don't know if it's making me feel better or making themselves feel better.
It doesn't matter because the situation is the same regardless. It doesn't matter who's the object of the feeling betterness of what they're saying because, A, it's not happening, right? And, B, nothing – even if it does happen to one or both of you or neither – no one's going to walk away learning something. So it's totally like if you take an event like that and remove it from your life, the rest of your life would have been exactly the same. Like that event in question has no impact on your life whatsoever, except that it wasted your time.
Unless you count that I posted it on Facebook and I had a good conversation about it.
I understand, but you know, no, but I mean, okay. But in that case,
I know what you mean.
No, but in that case, it did you some good. So really, we wouldn't be doing this podcast if you didn't have that interaction on the train. You could do that any way you want about anything.
Well, sure. I look at things at this point as fodder for, podcast or writing or whatever.
Yeah, but my only point is, like, you – I don't know, you know? I mean, I think that there is value in educating people that are ignorant but not willfully ignorant.
How can you even tell the difference?
You can't.
And so that's the sticking point.
Actually, I don't know if you can't. I think the difference, assuming that, you know, both parties are willing to talk beyond the, you know, I feel sorry for you, no you don't stage, when you tell somebody something, assuming it's true, and they choose not to believe you, then they're willfully ignorant. You know, if you say, oh, actually, you know, I'm in this wheelchair because I have a syndrome called Larson syndrome and it's XYZ and thank you for asking. And then they say, oh, well, don't worry. That'll go away soon. That's right there is when you lose them. You know, that's like you can't help that. But if they say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Like if all they do is that, then you've helped a little bit. I mean, whether or not they go home and Google it and learn more about it or whatever, it doesn't matter because you actually educated one person, and that's better than them saying they feel sorry for you, right? But I think getting to that point is hard enough by itself.
Well, yeah, because then you automatically get the response, oh, I was just trying to help, or I was just trying to be nice, or why aren't you accepting my kind words because I'm a good person and I just want you to know that I'm here to say nice things.
It's like, when you tell a really angry person to calm down, they're like, I'm calm.
I know, it's like, that is the worst thing you can say to an angry person. It's the same thing to me. It's like, I was just trying to be nice. Okay.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think that is an entire mess, like a concoction of stuff by itself, that whole set of interactions of both parties are interacting with each other defensively in order to not offend the other one, such that even good things like a gesture, unwanted or not, can come across as offensive. You know, and obviously, like, if you don't want it and they insist, that is offensive. But I'm not talking about situations where it's explicit. I'm talking about situations where it's very ambiguous, which tend to be most of them. And, you know, when you when you have two parties that are both, I know I should do this. I know this is a good thing to do, but I don't want to do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing or feel the wrong way. You know, when you're both doing that, you're not going to get anywhere. And then you're both going to walk away thinking you're the bad guy. Or you're going to both walk away thinking the other person's the bad guy, which is even worse.
And then there are the situations where people are genuinely obnoxious, like the what's wrong with you kind of questions. But so then I always think about this because, you know, whenever I have random encounters like this, I post it on my Facebook. It always gets a conversation going and everybody always says, oh, why didn't you come back with some snappy retort? Like, what's wrong with me? Nothing. What's wrong with you? Like, I
Because you don't want to be a d-
Yeah, I don't have that capacity in the moment most of the time, and you would think I would be used to it considering that this is my daily life, but I still get so, like, choked up is the wrong way, but, like, a silence befalls me when I get comments, and I just, every retort that I had or every common thing that I could say that should just roll off my tongue suddenly is like, we're failing you right now.
I don't think that that's a bad thing, though. I mean, I get the anxiety that comes of you is bad, but I I don't think that something preventing you from being a complete jerk to somebody who just plain old may not have known better. Because you know better. You know better. They don't. You know that this happens to you every time. They have no idea.
How come people don't know better, though? I really want to know that. I know it sounds like such a childish question.
You don't know better either, though. The only reason you know better about this is because it happens to you every day, but they don't know that. It's like how if you have something in the grocery store that has no price tag on it, and how, like, you might go up to the cashier and say, oh, does that mean it's free? And they heard that same joke 400 times today, and they're bothered by it. But they don't show that to you because they don't know that.
Or maybe they do because they're a disgruntled teenager working the checkout.
Okay, but no, but you know what I'm saying.
I know
what you're saying. Why don't people know better? I don't know, man. Why don't people know better about everything? They just
actually
don't.
You make a good point because I get super irritated every time some random person thinks they're being the most clever person in the universe by being
like, you have a license to drive that thing?
Or like, you're going to get a ticket. Stop speeding. Like, and it takes every ounce of my strength to remember that they think they're being funny.
Doesn't mean it is funny.
But other question, do you think they're like performing some kind of acceptance there? Like, do you think that it's almost a way to be like, hey, I'm one of the good ones. I accept you. So I'm going to make a funny comment about it. See, look at me accepting you.
You know what? Honestly, I've never thought of it that way, but actually I would say yes. I think that humor, bad humor aside, because that's a terrible joke, even if you've never heard it before. But I think that humor is a brilliant way to build bridges. And I think that in the face of something that society sees as taboo, such as disability or anything else, humor is a great way to navigate it without the fear of offending someone because, you know, obviously jokes can be offensive, but you grant them this poetic license that it has to be very explicit or very, very overt for it to matter in the same way that a comment would. You know, so yeah, I think that that's an attempt at extending an olive branch. Is it a good one? That's subjective. But I think, you know, because that wouldn't happen if you weren't disabled. I mean, if you pass somebody and you're not disabled, the most that they do is look at you and make eye contact and maybe say, how you doing? They might nod up at you. And that's it. That's the end of your acknowledgement. But because you're disabled and you don't see something every day, it's something you don't see every day.
Because I'm disabled, people might just say hi.
I don't know what you're talking about. But no, but really, like, you know, they might be like, oh my God, that's somebody that clear, like, you know, they might have the worst, like, reaction. They might look at you and go, I'm gonna talk to that person because they must not get out much, you know? That's ridiculous. Or they could have the reaction of, I'm gonna talk to that person because they're interesting looking. I don't see that every day. You know, one's worse than the other. But I think in both cases that, you know, it's something and it is something better than
nothing. But it's also all in what you say.
Yeah, but it's also
in how
you
say it. I mean,
like, no, I agree.
Okay, so like, if you want to strike up a conversation with me, you know, I get that your bad joke is an easy go-to, but I would just rather you say, beautiful weather we're having today, or,
you know? Yeah, but it's like a pickup line, man. You gotta do it. How much does a polar bear weigh? It's enough to break the ice, right? I don't know, but it's the same thing, except instead of dating, it's disability. It's just as corny here.
Both.
Well, no, but it's just as corny here as it is in... Well, that's what it is, right? You do that in dating to diffuse an awkward situation. And yes, the situation almost always is made more awkward by saying the thing than just behaving like a normal human. But just like dating, people don't realize that until it's too late. So, you know, I'm probably giving them more slack than they deserve, but I'm, you know, we've all been the wrong person. We've all been at the wrong end of that stick, disabled or not, you know? And so how do you get people to do better? You just treat them like you want to be treated, not how you treat everyone else, how you want to be treated. And that's, I mean,
that's where I think the signals are missing, because, you know, I mean, treat people how you want to be treated is great until you forget that and then get mad because the way you treated somebody is fine to you, but not fine to them. And then you just end up getting your wires crossed again.
It's not hard to be a good person. It's not. It's very easy. It becomes a problem. I'm not saying that like I'm on some sort of moral high horse. I'm just saying it's really easy to not be a d-.
It's also, though, is it a matter of being a good and bad person? Because I think you can be a good person and just say something that's a little like, eh.
Yeah, certainly. And you can be a bad person and get something right every once in a while. Of course you can.
So, yeah. So I wouldn't call you a good or bad person. I would. That's kind of why I was going with initiated versus uninitiated. But I guess that's not totally accurate either, because you could be a complete jerk and still be quote unquote initiated.
Well, and you can be a complete. Well, there's also, like, you know, you ever seen that meme on the internet called, like,
what's almost, the internet?
I don't know.
What's a meme?
But like, it's that, you ever seen like almost politically correct redneck, where like,
yes,
the meme is that it's a terrible stereotype, but like, it's a guy who like is a stereotypical quote unquote redneck, and he's saying something that is completely true, but for all the wrong reasons, or he's saying something that is true in the wrong way, which is, I think, something you can apply to disability. I can't give you an example because somebody will think I'm serious and take offense to it. So I'll just link some in the show notes.
I can give an example.
Go ahead.
I was talking with my grandmother recently.
That's not an example of a meme, but sure, go ahead.
Oh, we're
no, no, it, no.
Can
no,
it be
no,
a real life example?
Yeah, of course. I was just being
okay.
A jerk.
Okay. So, I was talking with my grandmother recently, and she was addressing all the ways in which I am a minority. And this was very relevant, you know, to the conversation. It wasn't like she just brought it up, but she said, and you're white, so that makes you a minority. And I was like, and she was like, yeah, you know, like how there's so many people who are different skin colors who are moving to America. And so America is getting darker. And so we're all racially diverse now. And like, there was nothing racist about what she said, but it was just like slightly off kilter. I got what she meant.
Well, yeah, but America's still like 40% white. But well, I mean, sure, yeah, no. But you're
trying to indicate the whole like,
no,
we're moving towards becoming continually more of a melting pot.
Right.
And I get that it was like.
It was the complete wrong way to say the right thing.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's very common in disability. I think it's more common than we ever give it credit for, and probably did give it credit for in this episode. I think that I you know, maybe I'm naive, but I really do believe most people are good, and the ones that aren't are trying, and that there are bad people, but I think that's a much smaller minority than anyone really thinks. And I think that there's some credit you have to give when somebody's trying to be good and isn't. I mean, failing, you know, it's okay to fail if you're trying your best. I guess, you know, that's what you say in school. Like, try your best, you know, so your best is all you can give. That's true for life. I mean, yes, also, they say that sometimes your best isn't good enough. That's also true. But, you know, if you say, if your intentions are good and your words are a little off, or vice versa, it's way better than just being all wrong. Or even in some cases, all right. Because if you're all right, you come across as being like, you're being too careful and you're.
Can you ever win with that, though?
Yes.
With being, no, like, if you're all right, I mean, I really think there's a way to go about doing that without it looking like you're trying too hard.
No, because if you're all right, that means you are trying. You can't, there's no way to do it without being disingenuous, because in doing it, you're being disingenuous. Nobody says the right thing all the time unless you're making a conscious effort to do it. There's no such thing as genuine with that, unless you're like Mr. Rogers. I'm serious. I'm not even being facetious. Like, if there's nothing wrong, by the way, with making a conscious effort to say the most correct things the most frequently. You know, like, obviously, it becomes more natural the more you do it. But, you know, to err is human. right? If you say 100% of the things the right way, the right time, then you're not going to come across as genuine. I mean, look at this podcast, right? How often do we say the wrong thing? And I don't
probably
mean like
all the time.
No, I don't mean that we speak wrong, although we do that too. I just mean like, oh, is that the correct way to say that? Oh, is that the right term? Oh, is this right? Oh, is that right? Somebody correct us. Like, we do that all the time. But because we're asking and because we're, you know, going to use that information to improve ourselves, we don't get for it because clearly we're trying to know better. And I think that that matters. And I think the same can be said for pretty much anybody. But I think that the hardest bridge to, like, the hardest gap to bridge is the initial step, right? Where somebody's trying to say something to ease their way out of what they're going to perceive is going to be an awkward situation, but instead, in so doing, makes it an awkward situation in, like, you know, in your, hey, do you need a license to drive a thing? Oh, you're going to get a ticket. Like, that's the exact situation. And unfortunately, those are the people that need to hear it the most. I don't know if there's an answer to that. I really don't. Because the answer to that would just be to say hello or to, like you said, strike up a conversation about the weather or anything else or not say anything, you know.
I just want to know what makes it somebody's first reaction to make a comment about disability when if it was someone who was a different skin color, you wouldn't say, so you're looking mighty black today.
I don't know
like,
about
what?
That. I don't know about that. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm pretty sure people do that, but also...
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not us, because we're better. But I wouldn't put that past somebody. We're not better, okay? I was being funny. But I remember this one time, my parents were at this, like, event, and at this event, there was a Native American, and he was dressed in traditional garb, like, with... he looked like a walking stereotype. I mean, he was real, but he looked at like exactly like what you're picturing in your head. I guarantee you that's what he looked like. Okay.
What is that saying that you're calling it a walking stereotype and not just a person who is Native American?
In the same way that when you see a Chinese kid in the corner of your Chinese restaurant doing homework, you're like, oh yeah, that happens in every Chinese restaurant. Cause it does. It does. Watch, you're going to go to your Chinese place like next week and you're going to see like the Asian kid in the corner doing homework. And you're going to be like, oh my God. Anyway, he was dressed in traditional dress and my mom like didn't know what to say because like that's obviously something you don't see every day. And she looked at him and she was like, looking good, chief. And my dad and sister, I wasn't there because if I was, I would have had that on video. But my dad and sister looked at each other and they were like mortified and they started like laughing at my mom because
I would be too.
No, it was like the dumbest thing in the world to say. But like the only reason she said it was because her mind totally didn't know, like her brain short circuited. And I think that's what happens with disability too. You know, I really do. I think like they like wheelchair. Oh, license tickets. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, like they don't know what to do. I'm serious. That doesn't make it right.
No, I hear you, but I want to get to the point where that is not a reaction that people need to have, where it's not even like a weird thing to see someone with a disability out and about in public, because that's the other thing. It's like, good to see you today. Like,
I mean, we do that too.
Though. Good to see you?
No, we do that too. Whenever we're somewhere and we see a person with a disability, we go, oh my God, do we know them? We do that all the time, and
for chances are I actually do know them.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't make you any better than them. You're doing the exact same thing. Even whether or not you don't know that you know them until you know that you know them.
I am better because I am in a wheelchair, and that qualifies
no.
me.
No, it to doesn't.
Do that. I'm
no,
obviously it, kidding.
I know, but I'm just saying that not for you. It's because somebody's going to believe you.
Don't believe me. I'm not better than anyone.
We're just as guilty of doing it. Of each other as everyone else is to us. And I agree with you. I want to live in a world where that's not, you know, a thing that happens. I hope it happens in my lifetime. But the fact of the matter is right now, this is the world we live in. And, you know, instead of dreaming, hopefully this is like starting to build bridges and make it take really small baby steps. And make
build bridges, not walls, blocking out people from Mexico.
I don't know.
Donald.
I don't know what you're referring to, Emily. If it's a southern border wall construct, you know, thinking about being constructed by
that's
the 45th
president
of the United States. You know what we should do is make it all solar panels, because then no one will know what to do, because on the one hand it's a wall, but on the other hand it's protecting the environment and using clean energy, so, like, will their heads explode? I don't know, let's find out. Final takeaways, I guess. Final takeaways is, if you see a person with a disability somewhere, and you're thinking about making a dumb joke about wheelchairs, don't. You did it. You're final, better that way.
Final takeaway for me. I'm trying to be more eloquent than this kid over here.
All right, while you think about it, I'll give a real one. I think that it's very important to build bridges. I think that it's very hard to do. I think that everyone involved, us and them, have a long way to go. And I think that having conversations without the fear of being afraid of saying the wrong thing is a perfect way to start. And I think that both sides, us and them, need to start doing that.
I have the incredible urge to start singing Kumbaya, which happens at least once every 4 episodes.
And just like every other time, I'm just going to suggest very violently that you don't.
Violently? He's violent.
No, I'm not.
So, my final takeaway is...
How do you violently suggest something, by the way?
I don't know. Why did you even say
You're
that?
You're not going to sing Kumbaya. I have no idea.
Aggressive, maybe, not violent.
Yeah, that's the word I meant.
Violence is like the antithesis of Kumbaya anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well. Someone's going to edit that out and make me into a monster, but it's whatever.
So, my final takeaway is, please be conscious of your language if you are, perchance, someone not in the disability world all the time who is listening to this, but also don't be afraid to have a conversation. Don't be afraid to be open and friendly, but just do so in a way that maybe indicates that you put a little thought into what you were saying before you said it.
Do you know what I wish? I wish that somebody not able-bodied listens to this episode, right, and gets to the part where you say that you're sick of hearing the joke about needing a license or getting a ticket, and then has a light bulb moment where they realize, holy shit, they were being a massive
this whole time. They were the ones saying that obnoxious
thing. I don't mean that like that's a bad thing. I think that that's a really good thing. Like, oh my god, like this just smacked you in the face. Like, that would be a stupid thing, because it's sometimes, and this is true for like a lot of things in life, you don't realize that what you're doing or saying is kind of dumb until someone points it out to you.
That's true.
And I don't mean that in a negative way either.
No, I think people need to be called out. I think it's reasonable. It's not fun, but it's reasonable.
Yeah, and not explicitly either. I mean, it's not calling out if somebody hears this and goes, oh my god, that's totally me. You know, but to your point, that calling out works too.
Well, I've also been just sort of listening to someone talk or read something, and I even come to the realization that I did or said something that I really shouldn't have.
Yeah. Because you're human. We all do that. You know, it's the thing. Like, everyone's so afraid of saying the wrong thing that we end up not saying anything. And it's like, well, you know, it's sad to me in a way, in like a cosmic way. But anyway, I think the best thing to do when you're uninitiated is first to, well, actually, we had a checklist that I'm going to listen to and type out in the show notes.
He can't remember a damn thing he said.
Not a clue. Anyway, good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Accessible Stall. I'm Kyle. She's Emily. And we'll see you next time.
I'm Emily. I want to say my own name.
Go ahead.
I'm Emily.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.